Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. We've been doing some research recently on explosive personalities, angry personalities, bipolar personalities. Looking at the other side, the agitation that people live with that sometimes sits under their depression. Where better place to look than to start than with our children, who obviously often manifest the very behaviors that are going to later turn out to be the most harmful ones in their adult lives. So I ran across a book recently called Taming Your Inner and Outer Bullies. And I thought, well, what a funny name for a thing. Notice it was written by Steve Rosenstein, who I had heard about, who's up on the North Shore, who does this kind of incredible work with young folks in the schools. So having gone through the book, I called Stephen and invited him to join us to talk to us about bullies, your own, the one inside of you, the bully that's you. Bully for you, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. In the studio with me, my guest, Stephen, welcome to WBAI.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, and I want to say that there's a real honor here. We are, since the book was just published, we are the very first radio program that Stephen is doing. And I think that you honor us.
Thank you.
Stephen, let me ask you something about this. You work in the schools.
Yes.
When I was a kid, bullies were... Everybody was kind of a bully, but the bully was the big guy who shoved the face of the smaller kid in the sand, you know, and it was basically the bully was the mean kid. And that was pretty well defined, and there were some bullies and then other people weren't bullies.
Yes.
So nowadays, have things changed at all for bullies?
Well, I think there is an increase of heartless bullies in schools, yes. I think there's an increase in homes which are making life very difficult for children, upsetting them to no end. And they come into schools and they express that rage, not at their parents, but at other students, teachers.
Well, one would seem, you know, the increase in heartless bullies is kind of interesting, especially among the young people. By the way, in case you think we're going to stay with adolescents, no, we're not. We're going to wind up talking about bullies in marriage and the inner bully, the bully inside of you, and how bullydom or bullinishness or bullyishness somehow relates to masochism and your own self-destruction. Now, you know, one of the interesting things that Stephen observed is that a bully is somebody who's hurting themselves. We're going to get to that a little later, so I want you to stick around. Right now, I want to talk about this, the frequency of bullies. One would seem now that it's much more fashionable, whereas the bully used to be the one person in our gang, in our neighborhood. It was the one guy who stood out of maybe 30 or 40 children. Nowadays, bullyishness or bullydumbness is fashionable. It's good to be mean. It's like the meaner you are, that has its own kind of goodness. I mean, people are admiring it.
In their groups, yes. In the bully groups that they're belong to, yes, but the students who don't belong to groups, who your average student, good students, students who want to learn during the day, these other students are their worst nightmare. In the Board of Education where I work, they're in some schools so rampant that they close the schools and sent the students everywhere else.
I think of gangster rap. I think of gangster rap music, and I think about how the fact that, you know, most of the young kids who are attracted to gangster rap are imitating the gangster rap. You know why sometimes you see somebody's underwear hanging out of their clothing is related to the prisons, and how in the prison they don't allow you to have a belt, so therefore your underwear show, therefore part of the actual style of clothing is to have your underwear show because it looks like you've been in a prison. Imitating prison inmates, imitating bullies in one form or another, became part of the style for certain inner city kids now. And I'm sure in some of the schools that you're in, it becomes more and more fashionable to appear like a bully.
Yes, it does. But I think of looking at the greater picture of this, these are students at the same time who are not doing well, that education has not done well for them, the way it's presented isn't meaningful, that a lot, for many of them, there's nothing else but bullying. They don't read well, they're years behind, they're not going to pass, there's no social promotion, and so life is very dismal, dismal at home, dismal at school, and all that rage and anger and despair can be taken out on others.
Now, a funny thing happened, Stephen, speaking with Stephen Rosenstein. Is it Rosenstein or Rosenstein?
Stein, Rosenstein.
Right? Stein? Okay, Stephen Rosenstein. Stephen Rosenstein, who is the author of Taming Your Inner and Outer Bullies, just published, just available, this book, New Horizon Press. A bully, any bully, adult bully, adolescent bully, inner bully, outer bully, bullies are somebody who, in effect, doesn't like themselves, is what you say. You say, when I asked you before about prisons, I said, there are a lot of people in prisons, many of them are bullies. What was your response to that?
Well, they're there certainly for criminal acts. The question is the motivation to end up in prison. Are they in prison because they committed a criminal act and got caught, or was their need to, in fact, get caught and to be punished and to suffer even more in life than they did before?
Now, why would somebody want to be punished and caught when they're a bully? I mean, the obvious thing would be, I want to be so strong that nobody catches me. And you're saying everybody, I think you're saying, mean kids want to be punished.
What I'm saying is that the mean children that you see have equally mean inner bullies. They're treated inside just as meanly. And those bullies have, for many of them, will treat them so meanly that the meanest thing that can happen to you is to be in prison.
Well,
end up executed.
We've crossed over now from an outer bully, meaning somebody who's a bully with other people, to you're talking about an inner bully. We inner bully, you mean the voice, the critical voice that you use in your own head against yourself.
Right. And the feeling states would be equal to how you behave towards others.
So if you're saying, if I'm mean to somebody who I'm married to, and you're saying I'm really mean to myself.
Yes. As heartless as you would treat someone else, your inner bullies will not protect you. You could end up over-drinking, alcoholism, all kinds of things
but
that you're not protected from.
Is it a conscious thing? Do people who are bullyish with other people, do they know they're destroying themselves? Or do they think they're just asserting their free will by drinking or eating or whatever they're doing that does destroy themselves? It sounds like it's unconscious.
It is unconscious. It's just not something that people think about. It's just not a thought. People think in terms of what's wrong with me rather than what's normal and natural in the human species. And so that you just believe whatever you're doing is so. You don't question. People don't question what happens inside their head unless they're terribly suffering.
Right. Most people just go through. They don't turn it inside and say, really, what's going on inside of myself?
Right. And if you really don't like yourself very much and you believe you have a need to suffer and you agree with your inner bullies that conscious and unconscious that you need to suffer, now you're going to really suffer.
Stephen Rosenstein, author of Taming Your Inner and Outer Bullies. So you're saying this, and I want to make this really clear. Any of you who are in a relationship with somebody who bullies you or anybody who's in a relationship with whom you, who you bully, right? If you bully somebody or they bully you, really the source of this, according to Stephen, is that there's a bully inside you that's beating you up. And that, in effect, every time you turn to hurt somebody else, there's a part of you that wants to hurt yourself. And I think what you're saying, which comes later in the book, so you don't have to say anything, I'll just tell everybody, what you're also saying is that there is a desire to be stopped a desire to be caught because there is a built-in intrinsic guilt that comes to all people who are bullies, and that they are waiting to be punished.
Yes.
And so bullydom is a way of getting yourself punished for crimes that you've committed that are not just the crimes of the present. That's very confusing.
It can be.
So what kind of sins did a kid commit that makes him want to get punished?
Well, what happens in all our childhoods, if you're terribly victimized, and enraged, these are your parents, you're supposed to love and care about them, and they're victimizing you when you're enraged, that's not very nice. And you'll be judging it as there's something wrong with you. You'll feel terribly guilty, and with all guilt comes punishment. The more victimized you are in childhood, the worse, you're going to be victimized in life or victimize others.
You get victimized by your parents in some form or another, either through neglect, through criticism, through punishment.
Abandonment, rejection,
right? And you say, there must be something wrong with me, and then you get angry. And you say, I hate those people. And then you feel guilty for getting angry. And you try to control it. Because, it wouldn't make much sense to get angry as a kid. Because you couldn't survive.
Right.
They would look at you and they'd smash you in the head. They'd put you in an institution. They would give you medication. They'd take you and get you Ritalin. They'd bring you to a psychiatrist. My son is angry. There's something wrong with him. He's got an acting out disorder. And so instead what you do is you swallow that thing. You say, there's something wrong with me. I'm getting angry all the time. And you get guilty.
We're also an aggressive species, as you can read every day in the papers. And children are very fearful of expressing that aggressive nature. That part of ourselves that controls our behavior is to stop us from being aggressive.
So it's really inhibiting it. But because we know that we're aggressive, because we know we have this anger towards our parents for not giving us what we needed as kids, many people, the people who you're saying who wind up being the greatest bullies, are also the people who feel the guiltiest about their harmful instincts. So they either act it out by beating up somebody on the outside,
right,
but at the same time they're feeling guilty.
Right.
So now comes the criminal who wants to get caught, the guy who's having an affair who wants to get caught, the guy who's kind of yelling at his wife and wants somebody to call the neighbors. It's this...
If you're in a bully's decide you do not deserve a happier life, a happier life is out of the question.
And
a happier marriage is then out of the question, a happier job... A good relationship with children can be affected. It doesn't have to be all. Now, some people have everything affected, and life is terribly miserable. Some have one or two areas that are spoiled. It's good to know what your inner bullies are doing to you.
Do you think that men tend to be more of a bully than women?
Not exactly, no. No. There are many women in prison now. Women are an aggressive species also, just like with lions and tigers.
But women are taught
to certainly not express that more than boys.
All right, so if you're a woman and you're smaller, and you tend to be of smaller physical size, it's easy for you to get bullied by men.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that we very often see is that the very woman who is bullied by some aggressive male turns around and then bullies either her sisters, her dolls, her animals, and she in turn turns that aggression towards somebody else, or turns that aggression towards herself in the form of some self-defeating or self-hating behavior.
Any of those. You don't always have to express it. You can just have the ability for it. But spousal abuse is on the rise. And the way I look at life is that if you have a natural anger towards women, well, that's going to be expressed in your marriage. It's going to be expressed in your relationship, let's say, with your children, daughters, colleagues who are women. There is a consistency in human nature. You can't just act one way and expect a person will act differently somewhere else. They really don't. Now, people are not out of control, so it's not as if they're going to behave poorly everywhere. If you don't want to get fired at work, you don't act poorly. But at home, you know, and you don't feel there's any consequences, you can act very bad.
There are many people I've seen in my life who get caught doing things that they believe that they shouldn't have been doing. And there's a shame, the feeling of shame that's been described that they very often feel. You're saying something that I think is fascinating, that that shame is also on some level a desire to be caught, a desire to be stopped, a desire to be punished
yes.
in some way. Is
I mean, although we're aggressive species, it is written that most of us don't go around killing people. Most of us don't harm people.
If unless you're in the medical profession or drug industry or government or something like that.
Well, even in the armies, they realize that, you know, those, let's say, who are drafted, who are kindly individuals who, in fact, have to go out and harm someone else, that mental breakdowns are enormous for these individuals.
Mm-hmm. In fact, mental breakdown may be the only way we could get you to become a soldier for that short period of time.
Sure.
For that short period of time, what we'll do is work at your will through a bullying process
right.
until we crack you
right.
to the point where you get so angry back that the first time you see anybody we point out and we say, that's the enemy, you're going to be dying to express that. It's part of training military.
Right.
You know, and then the war is over, and you're sent home, and you're loaded with this tremendous, tremendous anger.
And guilt. Tremendous guilt.
Hmm. Bully isn't always a victimization, but you see, I see that in your heart of hearts, you feel bad for bullies.
Well, it's our nature. I don't judge it. It's our nature. We have a bully nature. But because we do doesn't mean that you victimize someone.
Well, do you see bullies as victims?
Bullies are the victims at the same time. You can't separate the bully from the victim.
So you don't get mad at bullies when they come to your attention in school. You don't get mad at them.
No, I would not get mad at them. But they need to be stopped. You know, if they cannot stop themselves, they need to certainly be stopped from harming others. That needs to be done.
And you don't feel, I mean, you could do it therefore kindly. You
what
say.
I feel bad is that in many of the school systems, they need to address students who are, you know, not doing well, where the system does not relate to them, and that need an alternate style of education, I feel would decrease the bullying. I think if an education was relevant to students, and they were really, really involved in projects that children care about, I think bullying would decrease.
Well, you know, it's not so far from when I think about myself and I think about the work that we do here at the center. We have a lot of people coming by, and practically all the people coming by are in some way reflecting some form of self-hatred, self-doubt, self-criticism. And no matter how harmful they are, no matter how mean they are, you know, it's like you can do nothing but feel bad for them because they are the victims.
Well, that's interesting, is that some people only look at the victim side of a person. So you only see one
right.
half of a person. You'll say, oh, that person, you know, is suffering terribly and we need to take care of them. And they don't see their bully nature, you know, right away.
When you say there are four kinds of bullies?
Three.
What are they?
The kindly bully.
Which is,
you know, nice, you know, people
bully?
Who can bully by mistake. You can be a little insensitive to your wife, a girlfriend. And you feel bad and you say, I'm sorry, you know, and it doesn't happen very often. Then you can be a very critical person where you're just hostile, critical, no one can do anything right, and very judgmental. And then there are individuals who come from very heartless homes where they've been terribly victimized, and they can become, you know, within their character, very heartless people. Under those folks, I put people who are sadistic, people who are terrorists, and who can do terrible harm to us. So even if we're having a happier life, and even if our relationships are good, there are people around that would make us quite unhappy, who are looking to do it all the time.
And all the pity that you might have, at times you've just got to have to stop somebody from doing something that would be harmful to you or people you love or anybody else.
And to
at the same time, looking at them and saying, you poor kid, that you have to be this way.
Absolutely. When you see a terrorist who's capable of blowing up people, but they're also blowing up themselves. They're quite capable of killing themselves at the same time. You have boys who go into a school, shoot their classmates, and have the same capacity to take the gun and blow their brains out.
When you see someone who is heartless, when you see it, you know, and there is so much about them that you could hate and you could want to put down, but you got to think they are heartless, born without heart, right? Born without, or not born that way.
Well, treated in such a profoundly bad manner that victimized, rejected parents who just weren't there for them.
You know,
abuse them. Many are terribly physically and mentally abused.
And therefore, according to the Stephen Rosenstein theory, what you see is that very person will turn that much animosity and anger towards themselves. They will turn that hatred towards themselves, and they will hurt themselves directly by either their diet, drinking, alcohol, sleeplessness, gambling, losing, not being effective, losing jobs, because the self-hatred of a bully is so big, and yet they can't even see the self-hatred because they're so busy hating others. They don't even see it.
Well, one of the titles that I thought of the book years ago was The Legacy of Suffering. That nowhere in our talk today are we blaming anybody, certainly not blaming parents. These are parents who've also, all of them, have gone through the same suffering. And it just perpetuates. If you're treated harshly, if you've been treated heartlessly, and you grow up and marry and this is who you are, then they will just keep perpetuating.
Bullies beget bullies.
That's what keeps going on. And at this present time, there doesn't seem to be any will anywhere to stop this.
Well, you know, I love every now and then you could find somebody who does interrupt the cycle through introspection. Through even, you know, if you take the people who listen to The Positive Mind, you know, and you get this group of people, and we have these little pockets of people around the world who tune in the radio show, and they're listening to something about humanity and listening to something about treating other people kindly, and it makes a tiny little dent. And then I often think of what dent that makes in children. In fact, there's a little letter that sits behind me. Hold on a second. I'm getting my letter. Here it is. Dear Armand, I am a 10-year-old girl, and I like to let you know that my mom has become a better parent by listening to your program. Please stay for me and my sisters and my brothers. Now, I see this to Dear Armand, but I don't mean it to Armand. I think it's to WBAI, to The Positive Mind, to the rest of the audience that listens. When I got this letter from this little girl, I felt it in my heart. I said, well, that's it. You know, it's a little bit of exposure can make such a difference that mother was kinder to her children. And everybody who listens, everybody who's a part of this, everybody who looks at themselves, whether they listen to The Positive Mind or not, but anybody who looks at themselves is in some way breaking the bully beget bully syndrome. You know, just because you had bullies on top of you doesn't mean you have the bullies underneath you. And in order to do that, we need a certain kindness, we need a certain amount of knowledge and introspection. But here's the secret. The secret is, bullies don't look inside. They don't know what's going on in there. So a bully is the least introspective person you'll ever meet. You know, it's one of the least. And the only knowledge they have about themselves is they sometimes will talk about their self-doubt, their self-criticism. It's all negative stuff. Sure, you take a bully who's lost 5 jobs and can't keep a job, and you talk to him and say, what's the matter with you? And if he's talking to one of his buddies, he'll say, I don't know. There's something broken inside me. And he believes it. And he believes he doesn't deserve any better. And so that is as far as it goes. That's as far as the introspection goes. What do you do? How do you help people heal the inner bully?
Well, there are some people that, as you said, will not be healed. For those is the understanding that nothing is broken. That it doesn't take 20 years to stop either hurting yourself or others. It just takes self-awareness of what you would like out of life and what stops it. To recognize that everything that goes on that does not entail a happier day needs to stop.
What else?
Certainly, let's say in a marriage where, you know, victims and bullies are reigning supreme, someone needs to stop. Someone says, I do not want to victimize you, and I don't want to be victimized anymore. Enough is enough. Let's just have understanding and to stop this most of the time.
You know, Alan Diane Pesso, I don't know if you've ever heard of Pesso Motor Works, Pesso Motor something. Alan Diane Pesso did this remarkable thing. They uncovered that people who are bullies rarely see the impact that they have on people who they victimize, because people who they victimize tend to look as if they weren't affected by the bully. So very often a person who hurts another person won't show that they're hurt. So what Alan Diane Pesso did for couples was they would have couples in workshops, and every time somebody said something that in any way affected the other person negatively, they grunted. They went, like that, as if you had hit him in the chest. And it was funny. They did it back and forth. And then they would have the people facing each other at first, and as they were speaking to each other and they heard each other, the person would grunt and take a step backwards and a step backwards and a step backwards until they were both on opposite sides of the room from the pain that was inflicted by things that were said that didn't feel good, but you wouldn't challenge them because you were trying to be logical or kind, or you're hoping it was going to go away. So bullies very often don't get the feedback that they've had an impact on somebody. When you begin to feedback, one of the ways that you help a bully is by giving them feedback and saying, that hurt. That hurt. What you did hurt. Not you shouldn't do it. Not I'm angry at you for doing it. What you did hurt. Now, if more,
right.
I think if more couples did that,
right,
we would see, you know, because very often I've seen guys yelling at their wives, yelling at them. What are they yelling at? They're yelling until the person will break down. They're yelling until the person feels something. Or a woman yelling at her husband. She's yelling at him and screaming at him until he finally gets somewhere, until he feels it. But what they do is they yell and scream at each other back and forth, and nobody shows that there's any pain, and it just continues.
Well, in my practice, the people, you know, the patients that are there, we work on diligently in the beginning is to end the need to, in fact, suffer and to be a bully. If you can stop bullying, you think, but if you don't end the need for suffering, you don't feel you deserve a happier life, then that, as you just described, continues day in and day out. Once they realize they would rather a happier day, it is truly amazing how this just decreases.
My guest, Stephen B. Rosenstein, who is author of Taming Your Inner and Outer Bully. Stephen, I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Marcia, thank you very much for accompanying Stephen today. I want to thank you very much. We're going to be taking a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be continuing along with some thoughts very similar to this. Be sure to stay with us. We're going to take a short break, come back with a little music, and we will be back soon.
This is Lawrence Block, and you're listening to WBAI in New York City. Listener-supported and non-commercial.
Tahrir, liberation. Marhaba, I'm Barbara Nimri Aziz. Tahrir is a long WBAI tradition and still strong in voices of the Arab Muslim community here and abroad. I invite you to tune in Tuesday evenings at 7 for discussions on Islam and society, justice and injustice, in-depth interviews with writers from across the world, and Fen Majnoon, Crazy Arts, with Dean and Maysoon.
little bit of your belly dancing music for them of you. I like the belly dance. McSultan by Durbosh, V-A-U-C-H, McSultan, from the album Arabesque. One kind of drums I never really learned how to play, finger drums are amazing. Just amazing what you could do. They snap their fingers. They have such power in their very, very fingers as opposed to using your whole hand and wrist. It's amazing. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's a Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM. We are with you this week. We've been talking a lot about aggression, and we've been talking about different forms of aggression. Today we were talking about bulliness. Being a bully, and being a bully, and how it relates to inner hatred. Now, here's the concept. The concept is, as bad as you are out there is as bad as you are inside. That for every bit of you that is mean to somebody else, there is a piece of you on the inside that is that mean to yourself. It's like an equal thing. It's like the tiller on a boat. You know, as long as the thing is as high as the mast could be, it's like there's going to be some opposite part for everything you do on the outside that is unfair and unkind. There's a piece of you doing that to the inside of you actively. Actively. We call it self-punishment, self-hatred, self-criticism, self-doubt, but you don't have to be conscious of it. So the very person who's the biggest bully very often will be somebody who drinks so heavily that they rot their inside body away. You know, that slowly the liver goes and the mind goes. It's almost as if they're saying, in order for me to be the way I am, I have to somehow expel this anger by taking it out on somebody else, and at the same time I have to punish myself. Every time you slap somebody else, you slap yourself on the inside. Every time you criticize somebody else, you criticize yourself on the inside. Now, that's the concept. Yet, it's not conscious. So, if it's not conscious, the person who is the bully just feels like, well, no, I'm just expressing my anger. I'm just angry at you. I'm angry at you for what you did. It's your fault. And so, you blame somebody. But, you know, if you have my eyes and you see somebody screaming, you look at that person screaming at themselves. And it's very sad. Many of you have children, and you've seen that in children. You've seen children who are screaming at the top of their lungs with anger and rage sometimes. But what you're not seeing is that that's the way they feel on the inside of them. Now, why would people need to punish themselves so badly? According to Steven Rosenstein and Freud, they said, well, we have a need to punish ourselves because we got angry as kids, and somehow we want to not allow ourselves to be angry towards our parents because that was kind of not allowed. But I think it goes beyond that. I think it's cultural. I think it's part of evolution as well. I think expression of anger is a thing that we just can't afford to have in this culture, expressing anger violently. And so one of the ways we developed civilization was we drummed out the expression of violent anger. We took it and we made it less and less rewarding. So it's less successful to have people who express their anger violently. Like, just think about it. If you go around getting angry all the time, you lose your jobs. They won't even give you a job. They won't give you a place to live. You can't live in a house and scream all day long. They're going to evict you. Eventually, you wind up in a hospital. Eventually, you wind up taken out of society. Eventually, you don't reproduce because you can't find a mate. So I believe that that society, not only society, but I think evolution has chosen to get rid of the violent. Now, of course, you're going to say, oh, there's plenty of violent people around. Of course there are. But remember where we came from. right? We were out there in the fields hunting and killing each other all the time. If you felt like having food at one point and you saw a gorilla who had your food and you were a gorilla or an ape, you just took it. If you felt like having somebody else's mate, you just took it, killed them, or got killed. We were pretty savage stock. We didn't come from necessarily plant eaters, although some people think we did. You know what I mean? I mean, we really came from the, like, we have this born-in natural viciousness that is no longer paying off. So now what we look for is a gentler, kinder way of dealing. And what did we get? In place of violence, in place of weapons, in place of claws, we have words, we have communication. We have ways of getting from the people we know things that we need without having to get violent. So I believe part of what happens is there is an inner criticism for the leftover violence that we've inherited. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI, and we're kind of caught in the middle of this. So here we are, we get mad. We get head-ripping mad. We get screaming mad. We get throwing things mad. And then we have this inhibitor inside of us that says, don't get mad, don't get mad, you shouldn't get mad, you shouldn't get mad. Now, it's not just your mother screaming at you. It's society screaming at you. It's culture screaming at you. It's evolution screaming at you. You want to make it to the next step, kitty. Shut your mouth. So I believe we're at battle with ourselves. I think we go beyond the psychology of it. And I think the consequence, the only way we could do it, is by talking badly to ourselves, by putting ourselves down. The ones who were born with the most potential violence are the ones who are the most self-destructive. And I believe it's in service of evolution. Maybe. You know, it's just an idea. Just before, I'm going to take your calls, by the way, 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls today. By the way, in case I don't mention it, my next 2 days of radio are going to be fascinating. They're both going to be talking about, believe it or not, breathing. Now, one of the silliest things in the world is to imagine that anybody should have anything to do with a show about breathing. Do you think I'm going to say, do you learn how to breathe properly? No. I want to show you things about the way you breathe, breathing, inspiration, expiration, right? Breathing, to conspire, to breathe together. The very breathing itself is related to psychological well-being and not well-being, and there are certain things that we could attribute psychologically to breathing methods. Not that they're good or bad, and not we're not going to teach you how to do good breathing. But then, you know, how do you know when your breathing goes bad? How do you know when there's something wrong with you? Well, we have different things. We have coughs, we have asthma, we have emphysema, we have all kinds of lung disorders, we have things that happen, phlegm, we have stuff inside our bodies. And you know, most people don't know how their lungs work. They truly don't know. They have an idea, but they don't know. And I was lucky enough to get Neil Schachter, one of the world's leading authorities, leading physicians, head of Mount Sinai's pulmonary rehab division, to come and be on the show with us on Thursday and talk to us about breathing, about the very act of your lungs and what it's about. So, you know, we have a lot of alternative medicine here on WBAI. I'm bringing in straight medicine. I'm bringing in the representative who I know is not a hustler. He is a man who knows more about breathing than most people. And that's on Thursday. And on Wednesday, Roberta Atti and I are going to do an exploration of breathing and its relationship to emotional well-being. 212-209-2900, what we're talking about now is the need to suppress your anger as it fits and the need for self-punishment as a result of being other-punishing. So if you're somebody who has punished other people by being angry, by being destructive, by being hurtful, then you are somebody who has in some way hurt yourself. So the corollary of that would be the kinder you are to yourself, the kinder you are to the people around you. And it seems to make sense. We're going to talk about that. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello there. Hi there. I could hear you.
Okay. I didn't realize I was on the air.
Yes, could you turn down your radio all the way, please?
Right, okay.
And just speak a little louder, because you have a beautiful whispering voice.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, this program was very, I felt, relevant to me today, because, well, I'm not sure if I'm a bully or not, but I was having a problem, my husband and I, and it wasn't like yelling or anything. It was more of a kind of, you know, withdrawal, like walking, the silence, the walking away, going away from each other.
That kind of thing, you know, stonewalling, it's called.
Okay.
It's called stonewalling. It's called a kind of thing where you just kind of have a power struggle between the two of you.
Right.
And who walked away from who? You walked away or he walked away?
Well, first I did because I was upset and I went to cry. And then and then he came up and that was when then he left. And that really set the tone for a couple of days.
He left
the house? The room.
He left the room, and for 2 days, the two of you were in this kind of miserable non-communication.
Right.
Which is what people do. Now, here's the idea, okay? First of all, number one, what's your name?
Kathy.
Kathy, I'm terribly sorry that you are going through this pain. Let me start with the beginning of it being that I know, I could hear your voice, that you're just on the edge of tears. It is so hard. It's been so hurtful. So first I want to acknowledge that.
Okay.
And second to that, I want to say to you, this, according to what I was discussing today, happens to people who believe they need to be punished. Kathy, could you dig into your mind and dig into your soul and try to find some part of you that believes it doesn't deserve any better and that you really should be punished? Are you aware of anything like that in you?
That I should be punished?
Yeah, that in your own mind you say to yourself, this is because I'm a miserable person and this is the way it should be and I'm no good.
Well, it really doesn't come to mind. But I suppose, I could find a spot like that, yeah.
Have you always been somebody who's gotten depressed because of kind of misfunctions with people or things going wrong with people, like your family and your husband? And have you wound up getting depressed as a result of interactions with people?
Well, particularly from my closest relationships. In the outside world, it's, you know, a lot easier.
It is a lot easier. And the closest relationships you have, did you ever have this relationship with your dad?
Oh, this one?
Did you ever have a kind of a miserable relationship with your father?
Yes,
that's what I'm saying, because that's what I hear.
Yeah.
Well, tell me what was so wrong in your relationship with your father, and I'm going to show you what's happening with your husband.
All right. Well, you know, for one thing, he was a very violent man.
He was a rager.
Right.
And the way that you responded to his rage was to get quiet.
Yeah.
Right? You learned you better shut your mouth and get quiet. And in order to get quiet, you had to believe, Kathy, believe it or not, you had to make believe that there was something wrong with you. You see, in order to get quiet when somebody's raging at you, you have to do something in your mind. And part of what the mind does is it says, I'm going to get quiet because there's a part of me that deserves this. And it is that part of you that believes you deserve it that gets you to be in a relationship like this one, which is, you know, harmful because people can't talk it out. It sets the stage, you know. It sets the stage. You got a damaging relationship with your dad. It sets the stage for a damaging relationship in the present. Have you done anything about this? Have you inquired about yourself? Have you gone into therapy? You sound like somebody who searched out therapy already.
Yeah, I have.
And what's happened?
Well, think I just never really got deep enough with it.
There's a place you got to go. And I guess the place you got to go is what I'm saying, is you got to kind of revisit some of that early stuff. You know, that stuff that happened early on, because I could hear there's a giant pain related to childhood.
Okay. And I wonder about my husband, who's not, you know, he's not mean really or anything. But I'm just wondering, is it like we both have this condition? Or
yes, you both do, and you could hear it. You know, it's like I've often described how I see people, most couples. I want you to imagine what a crawl space is. You know what a crawl space is?
Yeah.
Under a house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard me with this metaphor before?
No.
I see two children, young children, maybe 2 years old, 3 years old, in tattered clothing, tattered, like ripped shirts, you know, and they're crawling through the crawl space underneath the house, you know, not in between the floors, and it's dirty, and they don't know anybody else is there, but it's the only place they could be safe. And every now and then, two of these children see, and they spot each other. And they look, another baby in a crawl space, another person in the crawl space, and they reach across to each other, and they go towards each other with great fear and trepidation, and they touch fingertips. At that moment, when you believe there's another human in this world, as damaged as they are, who is in this world, who's potentially in this world with you, at that point, you find an enormous amount of peace because you found someone you could be with. So you and your husband found each other, but it's two damaged kids, and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it could lead to the greatest love and the greatest thing, but the one thing we want to do is get you as many tools as possible for how to function with each other in a better way.
Right.
So that's what I suggest, and I think that both of you can do something about it. You know, one of the things you could do is you could go to the Positive Mind Archives and you could pull up. There are six programs on relationship, one of which talks about very specifically stonewalling. And it's the six first programs on relationships. It's signs of a damaging relationship or signs of a troubled relationship. That's what it's called. So you could go to thepositivemind.com. And you could go to the archives of the WBAI radio shows, and you could listen to those three programs, and they would be helpful.
Okay.
And if you need more help than that, feel free to call my office.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling in. 212-209-2900. Now, how sensitive do you have to be to hear the size of that sob that sits inside that person and so many other people? 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Hello. Leora's here.
Hello, Leora.
You know, thank you so much. I was just thinking back into my own journey. Sometimes one can be attracted to somebody who is a bully. And I married my mother, you know. And so the point is, happy ending, meaning you can marry someone who you feel you're not good enough and you don't deserve it, but something happens whereby after X number of these hurt feelings, something happens where you touches a point that's hidden beneath Armand. It's called integrity, dignity, and self-respect. And when that button and that hidden diamond, that door opens up, that treasured little diamond, and you start talking, and if it doesn't work, it's as though that person was a catalyst for X number of units of time, whether it's 2 years or 25, that made that button of happiness, integrity, dignity, and respect come through. What do you think about that?
Leora, I want to thank you for calling in. That's so well said, I don't have to say anything about it. You know, it's beautiful. Thank you. Absolutely right. And I want to thank you because, you know, I think we do help each other grow a great deal. We're going to take one more call. We have time for one more call. Thank you, Leora. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just listening to the last caller that just called in, and it just pressed a button in me.
I've been in a work situation which is a bully environment, and I've just gotten to a point where I don't care anymore. I don't know. I feel I've gotten to this point where I used to feel, well, loyalty versus being angry and how to deal with it, and I just got to a point where I just... Now I'm very, I find myself, instead of getting caught up in the emotion of what's right, what's wrong, my loyalty, my job performance, I become more centered on, I gotta do what I gotta do to make sure I know what I'm right in. It may not be what the boss may want, but my integrity's at stake, my health's at stake, my sense of well-being is at stake. I deal with someone that's very dysfunctional and very unpredictable. And it kind of scares me in a way. It's like a different person that I've never seen before, and it just...
It seems to me that you have forgiven yourself for your own past sins. That for a long period of time, you were in that position where you felt like the victim of a bully, and you were responding appropriately as somebody, as we said earlier, who needed to punish herself and to use the bully as the way of doing it. We pick people to beat us up sometimes because we want to be beat up. Sounds to me like you've stepped up and that you've found more value in yourself and you decided that that's not the way I want to go. From here on in, I value myself and I'm going to start taking care of myself. And I know it feels alien to you. I know it feels like, you know, hey, is this the same person? But it sounds to me like you've grown. What's your name?
Barbara.
Barbara, it sounds to me like you've taken quite a step.
It's kind of, you know, it's a grown-up. You know, I feel like a grown-up versus being a child.
Yep,
in a sense.
Exactly, exactly.
It just happened like the last couple of days where I said, you know what, I'm no longer angry. I'm no longer looking for approval. I know what I can do. I know what I have to do. I have to stay healthy. She's unpredictable. I can't put her in a box. I can't always try to figure out what she's thinking. I don't care anymore.
Thanks, Barbara. Thanks for calling
in. Thank you, Armand. Thank you.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. You can hear this copy replayed. You can hear this show through iTunes under podcasts or through thepositivemind.com, my friends, or through even WBAI's website. Almost always works. Back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Of the Hudson River, with music, dance, storytelling, crafts, and so much more. It's Clearwater's Great Hudson River Revival, a music and environmental festival. Hope to see you there. Festival.
here on WBAI.